One of the best ways to build wealth is through real estate. And if you're lucky enough to inherit property, or you have a family member who's willing to give you a whack of bread to get you started, we sometimes refer to them as the mom and dad bank or the grandma and grandpa bank, then you're well on your way. But what about the rest of us, you know, us ordinary people? How can we make a fortune in real estate on our own? I'm Desmond Brown, and today on Sold in the Six, I speak to a guy who says wealth in real estate is very simple. Todd C. Slater is the host of the Simple Investor podcast and Simply Real Estate, which is heard on radio stations such as News Talk 1010 in Toronto. And he joins me today on Sold in the Six. Todd, welcome to my podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Desmond. It's great to be here.
But Todd, I've listened to you for years on the radio, and it was such a thrill for me to actually have a chance to sit down and chat with you at Reality Conference last week in Ottawa. That was our Ontario Real Estate Association conference. And like I said, thrilled. And then I asked you if you would come on to my podcast, and you agreed. So,
yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. Listen, you know, it's always great to, you know, talk to like-minded people like yourself. And, you know, it's one of the things I have, you know, profound respect for yourself. You know, you do try to educate people. I think that's really important. Us as professionals, I think the best thing that we can do is, you know, give the facts straight to the public. They need to know. And you live and breathe this stuff as I do. And I think the best thing that we can do is continue to educate the public as time goes on.
Yeah, that's what we're all about, for sure. So I get a lot of requests from people who want to come on my podcast, and most of them are American, and they want to talk about investing.
Sure.
And I just kept turning them down. And then after bumping into you, I said, oh gosh, I've got somebody that can talk about investing. Finally,
yeah.
I have Todd C. Slater, and he agreed to come on my podcast. So let's just start with, here I am, normal person out there. I want to invest in real estate. I want to start building up some wealth.
Yeah.
What's the first thing I would do?
Well, you know, Desmond, that's a great question. And it's one of the ones that we talk about during our seminar. And let me put it to you this way. The most important question everybody should ask themselves is, why do you want to be a real estate investor? What's your true why? And there's a reason for it. You know, when you have markets that will shift, such as we just did with the interest rate increases over the years, you know, there's a lot of people that ended up bailing out of the investment. They said, listen, we can't hang on, or maybe we didn't prepare for ourselves for it. So I think once you know your why, this will allow you to then start moving forward. So what are we trying to achieve? So many people are thinking to themselves, hey, listen, maybe I can set it up for my retirement. Maybe I can set it up for my kids, you know, next generation. You know, that's really important, creating generational wealth. So there's a big part of people's why. So your first step always should be, you need to align yourself financially. And, you know, before you get too excited, before you start looking at properties, Desmond, my first recommendation is, go to a really good mortgage broker that understands investment properties and have an open conversation. See what you can afford first and foremost, and then that's your starting point.
Okay, so in most cases, it's going to be somebody who has a home, and they will want to take some equity out of that home to invest in something else, correct?
Yeah, you know, this is something we see all the time. So people will be turning around, they might have had home ownership for the last 5-10 years. Greatest thing, Desmond, as you know, as a realtor, we've watched prices appreciate nicely. So the equity growth in their properties is there. You know, perhaps they've got a much lower mortgage because they paid a lot less for the property. So normally what they do is they've got this great equity differential, and then this is where they can go to their bank and start talking to them about lines of credit. Now, the reason why you want to focus on a line of credit as opposed to putting a new mortgage on your home, of course, is the fact that with a line of credit, you don't pay the interest on the money until you use it. Where if you were to refinance, take, let's say, $100,000 out of your home to put down a down payment, you're paying for that right away, even if you don't own the next property yet. So smartest advice you can do, somebody takes a look. Now, one of the most important things, though, just so you know, the banks are going to ask for a new appraisal. They need to know what the property is like. Even though you as a professional, Desmond, could turn around and say, hey, your house is worth $1 million, the banks don't care. They're going to want an appraisal done.
Yeah. Okay. So the appraisal. So let's say the appraisal comes back at $2 million, you own actually you have a mortgage of $1 million on the property. So you've got about $1 million to play with.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I know I'm talking pretty high here, and the numbers are,
yeah.
I mean, if you're in Toronto, it's not unrealistic.
Yeah, it's all relative. Yeah.
Okay. So No, I found out that I have about $1 million in equity. Let's go down a little bit lower and be a little bit more unrealistic, or a little bit more realistic. Let's say you have about $500,000 equity in your home.
Right.
I want to get something.
Right.
What type of thing should I look at?
Well, keeping in mind what you're going to borrow, there's a certain limit that the banks will put on percentage-wise on the home, right? So even if you've got $1 million left in equity, they're not going to give you the full million. They're probably only going to give you about $400,000 because right now that's how they work. They want to keep the loan-to-value somewhere around 65, 70%. They want to make sure that if anything happens, they've got lots of money to recover. Yeah. So when you take that money out, now you've got to start thinking to yourself, okay, what do we want to do? Do we want it close to home? Are we looking at something a little bit more affordable? You know, we talk about the outer markets all the time with the simple investor because that's where the affordability comes into place. And I'm going to tell you, nothing against the GTA. The only way a lot of people are making money is doing the speculative play by buying brand new condos, waiting 5 years, and then maybe flipping them. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be a real estate investor, I'd say go to the outer markets and go to the lower price range because that way you know you're going to have positive cash flow.
Okay. Where are some of these outer markets? And I know you talk about them in your seminars.
Yeah, you know, it's not just where we have properties. I mean, we have properties all over Ontario, but more importantly, it is the, you know, I always say an hour out of the GTA. So if we go east, west, north, south, unfortunately, you're gonna be in the water. But if we take a look at things like Kitchener-Waterloo, you can talk about things like London, Ontario. You can talk about St. Catharines, Niagara. You know, you can turn around and start talking about Orillia, even Barrie for that matter. You know, there are marketplaces that are, you know, within an hour's drive that are a lot more affordable, and you start seeing that break-even part with the ratios between rent and debt.
Okay, so you're talking break-even is a goal.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When you qualify for a mortgage, it's important that the bank isn't seeing huge stress on your actual income, right? Because we do have to qualify. Like, you still have to qualify for that mortgage. Just because you have equity doesn't mean automatically you get a property. So we have to talk about what they call total debt service.
Yes.
And so you have your TDS ratio and GDS ratios. So we have to make sure that, you know, you look at the affordability so you can get started. And look, even if you're looking at, you know, a small property, let's say even in, you know, like London, Ontario, for example, $250,000, you buy a property, you know, 20% down, $50,000. And there you go. You get the ball rolling. And then from there, the appreciation, mortgage pay down, everything works. And you start seeing the returns.
Okay. So let's talk about London then.
Sure.
Let's just use that market there. So you're saying, you know, about 200,000? Yeah. How much for
anywhere from, you know, I would say 250 to 350 is okay. A really good price point right now in London, Ontario.
Okay. And what are you getting there?
Well, you're going to probably get anything from a one-bedroom to a three-bedroom condominium.
Okay.
And the good thing about that is the rents are very, very strong in a marketplace like London. I mean, you're getting $1,800 a month for a two-bedroom, just so you know. And when you're looking at a purchase price in around $300,000, if you could think about that for a second and say, okay, so if you had to buy a condo in Toronto right now, that would make the rents, you know, you'd have to get something about $5,000 a month rent for the same price point of $800,000, you need to get $5,000. It's not going to happen, right? And then, of course, property taxes are higher in the GTA. Condominium fees are going to be higher. So, yeah, when you take a look at big picture stuff, you know, the outer market has that affordability flavor.
Okay, so I buy a property in London. I live in Toronto.
Yep.
How do I manage it?
Well, you know, there's different scenarios for some people. We still see the standalone managers that they want to turn around and do it themselves. Okay, mm-hmm. And that happens. You know, sometimes they don't mind hopping in the car. They figure, hey, look, I'd rather manage it. I want to make sure I take care of my own place, and that's good. When you get sick and tired of it by then, you're going to probably want to look at a third-party manager. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are third-party managers out there. There are simple, answers to some of this as well. There's companies like ourselves. We have a full management system in place. So if you buy one of the properties from us, we make sure that you get rent every single month, and no matter what, it's been managed. So there are different scenarios. I'm always going to encourage people, if you're going for the affordability, you're going to the outer markets, if it gets too far, by all means, hire a third party.
Yeah. So I guess with a condo, the maintenance is, you know, not talking maintenance fee, but maintaining a condo.
It's fairly easy.
Yeah, it's fairly easy.
Yeah.
You start getting into, you know,
standalone homes,
properties, right, where you have one or two units. Okay, that's when things start happening.
Yeah, of course. You know, when you talk about condominium, you know, they're always the common elements, which means everything from the, you know, drywall out is the responsibility of the condominium. So, you know, there's not a lot that condominium investors need to do, except when, let's say, a tenant moves out, mm-hmm. then you're going to have to go paint it, maybe change your floors, you know, throw in some new appliances. But that's more of a kind of one every 5 years scenario. But when we talk about your standalones, and, you know, this is where we talk about student rentals, where people come in and they say, hey, listen, I want to own a, you know, student rental house in Kitchener. Hey, listen, hallelujah, good luck. Hey, they are maintenance. They are maintenance driven. But I'm going to tell you, there's some decent third-party companies out there managing these things. It's not cheap. It's going to cost you for a bit. But ultimately, in the end, you can still, you know, have peace of mind. You don't have to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so you talk about, like, getting rents to carry your expenses on a yep. monthly basis. So your mortgage, your taxes, yep. you know, whatever else comes up. Pretty good goal if you can break even. You don't want to be dipping in
yep.
Into your pocket each month.
Yep.
We're positive cash flow would be like ideal.
Yep.
How long should somebody hang in there and say, okay, look, I don't mind it breaking even yep. on a monthly basis. When do I want to start seeing a profit on this on a monthly basis, though?
Yeah, but you see, there's where I think there's a misperception in investment real estate. So I'm gonna just give it to you straight.
Great.
Okay. So most importantly, Desmond, if you don't need the money, you don't want to do anything but break even. Okay. You want to just carry the property. You don't want money out of your pocket, but you certainly don't want to increase your income, because every dime you make after the fact is going to be taxable. It's going to push your income right. up. So we don't want to do that. When we're real estate investors, the best thing you can possibly do is break even for a longer period of time. What we're going to do is we're going to get that mortgage paid down a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
So this is going to increase our amount of equity in the property.
Yeah.
So let's just sit back. Let's things happen to real estate that happens naturally with you or not, you know? And so when values go up, debt goes down, what happens? We get more equity. Now, the cool thing about that equity is that I use a 5-year cycle, but in 5 years from now, after buying an investment property, I can literally refinance that property, take that money out tax-free, the money that I put into it, put it back in my pocket, and we're all good. Now, we still have equity sitting in that property. It will still positive cash flow, or at least break even, and it can create the cycle all over again. So this is the amazing thing. And if you take a look at all the major landlords, if you take a look at all the major REITs, they always focus on the model that they get the mortgage pay down, value increase, and they are able to utilize leverage, because the magic word to all real estate investors is leverage.
Leverage, for sure. And that gives you the opportunity to go and pick up something else.
You got it. So properties by properties. That's yeah. one of the greatest things you can do.
Yeah. The other thing, I guess, that we've been spoiled with here in Toronto GTA is the appreciative value.
Sure.
Right. And that's really helped people go out and get more and more properties as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really a doomsayer, but when I talk to people about standard appreciation on properties, you should use the number 2%. Okay, mm-hmm. Even though historically throughout the GTA it's been 4.5, you know, over the years. And then it's funny because during my seminars, I remember, you know, in 21, I was doing a seminar and I said to everybody, hey, listen, use 2%. They said, Todd, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, thanks. I guess 25 years in real estate, I don't. But anyways, so what happened was is that I always say 2% because that's the one I can guarantee. And if I use my numbers correctly, it shows that I get a 25% return on my down payment every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had a year like 22 and 23 where, you know, interest rates jumped, took more cash flow, you know, market went flat, 2%, I can guarantee it. 23, if I said to people, hey, listen, you made 2% on your property this year, they'd be thrilled.
Definitely.
You know, and so there's the thing. So we have to downplay it a little, be consistent, know what you're doing, analyze the numbers correctly, and then you can move forward.
Yeah, so it's a really conservative approach.
You need to.
Yeah.
Okay. Because look, you're not going to get rich overnight. You know, and this is the thing. When people speculate on real estate, you shouldn't be doing it, because unless you have the ability to close, unless you have the ability to carry those mortgages yourself, you shouldn't be playing in the game, you know? And so always, 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 if you're looking at investment real estate, if you're going to buy a unit, make sure if things go wrong, let's say the tenant doesn't pay you for 3 months, can you afford to pay the mortgage?
Yeah, definitely.
These are the kind of things you need to have that backup plan in place all the time.
Okay. Yeah. So you do this. This is what you
do. This is what I do.
I am
the simple investor.
Yeah,
you got it.
Definitely are the simple investor. Okay. Can you tell me some of your success stories, the success stories of people that you've dealt with?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Happy to. Look, we've got over 1,200 investors. We've got over 3,000 units. I can tell you that the average investor probably has an average appreciation from their down payment of anywhere from 50 to 100% annually. You know, they've never missed a month's payment, rent at all, ever, ever, never had to pay for a repair. You know, I'm pretty proud of my team and my staff. They've done an incredible job, you know, following our vision. And really, you know, when we take a look at big pictures, you know, we've had people that, you know, years ago, they bought a property for $120,000 in Kitchener. You know, property's worth $450,000. They only put, you know, $25,000 down. And today they have, you know, $300,000 more equity sitting in that property with a $25,000 investment. I mean, where do you get that kind of return? You know, this is the thing about real estate. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, find fault in appreciation, you know, but people have to understand this is the world we live in, you know, like, you know, we can't build enough inventory. When you were on my show, you know, we were talking about inventory. There is no inventory. You know, we can't build it fast enough. You know, our population is going to grow exponentially in Canada. I think that the smartest thing that anybody can do, any one of your listeners, Desmond, any one of your clients, I'm going to encourage you. They don't have to buy from the simple investor. What I think everybody should consider, though, is making sure you at least own some form of investment real estate because you need that security.
No, you really do. I think back to like when my family first came to Canada, mm-hmm. Back in the late 40s, and the house that we had down in the Coxville Girard area was, I think, they paid my mother paid $13,000 for it.
Yep.
You know, and that was it. She had two properties. She had another one at Greenwood and Girard as well.
Wow.
Right. And it's incredible. You know, over the time, I think when we finally did sell it, my mother passed away. We got $60,000 for it, which was huge.
Yeah.
And on that street now, they're selling for 1.2.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so it's a long game. And, you know, people, you know, that have that patience, you know, just get in and hang on.
Yeah.
You know,
with the interest rate increases, this is where, you know, there were people that were speculators coming into the market. And you see social media, a lot of them, you know, a lot of doomsayers saying, oh, good, you know, they deserve losing their money. Look, you know, nobody wants to see anybody lose. You know, I don't believe that landlords and real estate investors are greedy at all. In fact, true real estate investors, they're not making a whole lot of money every single day. But over 25 years of ownership, this is where their investment pays off. And this is what people have to understand. To be a true real estate investor, you don't sell it within 5 years. You don't sell it within 3 years. You don't even sell it. You pass it on to the next gen.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, here we are in, you know, Toronto. Our average price is still like the 1.1 range.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing from you is get out of town. Like get out of
to
town.
Real estate investor, Yeah, for sure. Look, here's the thing. You know, people in Toronto, and I'm glad that, you know, finally municipalities are taking off the handcuffs off people looking at me, you know, doing duplexes and triplexes. I've always encouraged that. You know, I had a good conversation with John Tory. I said, look, you know, Mr. Mayor, we need to chop these houses up a little bit more. You should chop the titles ideally so they're actually legal triplexes, so somebody could legally own the basement apartment. That would be smart because that makes affordability come into play. But if you can't do it, if you can't do something like that, it's really tough to be a real estate investor in the downtown core. You know, and again, if anybody's buying brand new condos thinking you're going to flip them, look, there was some bad timing that happened the last 2 years. There's some people that, you know, they lost their deposits. Some people are suffering from it. I caution people always about saying, and especially because, you know, there are those, you know, I would say not always above board realtors sitting there saying, oh yeah, buy this condo, it's going to be great. Look, we can't determine the future 5 years out. We can't determine it, you know, 1 year out right now, especially with the Bank of Canada.
Yeah. And especially when it comes to, like you said, people that were lining up for these projects and so on, waiting years and years and years, and some of them, it's taking a lot longer than they ever thought to even put a shovel in the ground.
So are you really happy with the space that you're living with at home? But you need a new kitchen, a new bathroom, maybe finish off the basement that you've been planning on doing for years? Well, I suggest that you get in touch with Outstanding Construction. Outstanding Construction can help you with all of your renovation needs. They'll give you lots of great ideas, and all you have to do is get in touch with them. So visit their website, outstandingconstruction.ca, or give them an email at info@outstandingconstruction.ca. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's been a lot of delays from a construction perspective, especially the GTA, you know, and then we actually saw, you know, a bunch of builders just turn around and said, look, we're not going to build. They gave people back their deposits, but, you know, people were counting on that lower square footage price. Look, Toronto is a world-class city. People have to accept that. Mm-hmm. People have to accept the pricing of it. But, you know, if that's the case, then you're going to have to accept the world-class rental price. And, definitely. You know, people are jammed thinking that, you know, well, we should get a one-bedroom for $1,900. How do you figure? If it's $1 million property, you know, that means your landlord's losing $3,000 a month. I didn't know people were just nonprofit organizations all over the world.
Well, you know, Canadians love to buy real estate.
Yeah,
Canadians love it. And you talk about Toronto being a world-class city. I mean, we've always wanted to be a world-class city.
Yeah.
We've always wanted to be a London. We've always wanted to be, you know, a Los Angeles or a New York. But like you said, it comes with growing pains. And prices skyrocket, and not everybody's going to be able to own. Not everybody owns in Paris. Not everybody owns in New York City.
Yeah. Well, you know, you take a look at developers like One Young. You know, they went bankrupt, right? I mean, they're in receivership right now. And, you know, it's going to be the biggest tower in Toronto, of course. And, you know, now they're going to have to try to finish it, obviously, from a commitment perspective. But look, when you start talking about $2,000 a square foot in
that's
in,
amazing.
Yeah, but in New York, quite frankly, that's a deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at New York, that's a deal. But, you know, it's the mindset. And then, of course, people will say, well, hey, we don't have the income. You're right. So why are you buying it? people treat it. You know, people treat some of this as a real speculative play when they don't have the education to do it.
Yeah.
So before anybody does that, I'm always going to encourage you, you know, do the facts. Make sure you know what you're looking for. Look, you want to be able to, if you have to bail out of your investment property, you want to have something that's also very saleable in a point where you don't lose your money, right? So this is why I say, you know, go to something more affordable because, you know, if you're looking at, for example, you and I were talking earlier about London. Look, there's a lot of people that can afford to buy a place at $300,000.
Sure.
Okay. But if you talk about a one bedroom, there's not a lot of people that can afford $1 million.
Exactly. I remember way back in the day, you know, when I started in real estate in the 80s, $1 million? Like $1 million?
And it would take that was the bridal path.
Yeah, right. And it would take a year to sell.
Yeah.
A year to sell, and that would, you know, that was like the luxury property.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like the first house I ever sold, actually the first property I ever sold, was a $50,000 condo.
Yeah,
the first listing I ever got from, I was out door knocking in East York,
nice.
And I got this one listing at, and I remember I listing it at $93,000,
yeah,
a single detached,
yeah,
and it wasn't selling. And I talked to my uncle, and I said, we just can't sell it. He says, Des, you have to get a price reduction. How am I going to go and ask them to reduce the price? He goes, bring it down to $89,000.
Yeah.
$89,000? Oh, no. I don't know if they're going to go for it. And they finally did.
Yep.
And we sold it for like $87,000.
But there you go.
Those are the days. Eh?
Oh, yeah. And you know, but here's the flip to that narrative. You know, you'll have a generation right now that's saying, look, see, you were able to buy a place for $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But people forget also the level of income back then, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, teacher back in the day when that price came out, teachers were making $12,000.
Wow.
You know, so yeah. My dad was a teacher. So it was sort of like, you know, so you make $12,000 a year, you know, you're buying a $90,000 house. Well, you know, you're buying a $1 million condo and your salary is, you know, 150. Guess what? You know, the numbers really haven't changed that much.
No. And the interest rates when I started, they were 13%. Right. So I know. And I always heard from the other realtors. Oh, when I started, you know, just a couple of years ago,
18,
you know, they're 18. Yeah. It's easy for you right now.
Sure.
And I remember one investor that I had, he says, I like to know 13% is good. I like to know that I have that for 5 years. I can work on everything. I know exactly what it's going to cost me per month for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And those were the days.
No kidding. Yeah.
Okay. So you are the simple investor. I am so impressed with this place here. I'm out actually doing this podcast at Todd's studio in Burlington. And I thought I was going to be going into like the little industrial plaza and seeing this little studio. He's got this huge building out here. And I'm telling you, the simple investor works. He can advise you. If you're looking at getting into real estate investment, get in touch with Todd C. Slater. Get in touch with the simple investor. And Todd, talk about your company a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Desmond. I appreciate that. Look, you know, we started 15 years ago, and my mindset and when I created this was the fact that I believe everybody in this world should own investment real estate. I think it's one of the most secure assets you can have to pass on to the next generation. I just never believed people should manage it. When I was a realtor, I was hired by all the major banks to sell the power sales. And one of the things I recognized going into these power sales was that the tenants had the money. They just knew more about it than the landlord did, right? So you go in, they got a new car, new TV, new brand new shoes. And yeah, they didn't pay the landlord for 5 months and the bank closed them down. So my biggest thing was that I wanted to create kind of an ironclad management system that's going to allow people to, you know, benefit from owning investment real estate. And by the way, when you own with a simple investor, you always are the titled owner. We don't have any part of a share. We're just now your manager. We just manage the property for you. And it allows us to do it on a large scale because we always do it in, you know, a bigger development than when we buy it. And quite frankly, the most important thing I think for everybody is that when you think about your kids, the next generation, think about what they're going to need in the future. Yeah. You know, we take a look at cost of life. We could, retirement homes, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in the government nor the pension plans out there. So, you know what, create a little security and you can do it with real estate.
Yeah. I'm inspired. Allison and I just took a loss on a property out in Canmore, Alberta.
Right.
It didn't quite work out and the interest rates went up. We were on a variable and we were dipping into our pockets on a monthly basis. So we just sold it.
Right.
But I think I may be speaking to you.
Yeah, listen, happy to talk to anybody. It's really easy to get in touch with us. It's thesimpleinvestor.com. And hey, by the way, Desmond, just so you know, coming up on April the 27th, it's a Saturday, we've got our Simple Seminar webinar. And, you know, it's not really, you can't buy anything there. I'm not trying to sell you a program. We try to educate people, have a better understanding of what investment real estate can do for you and your family. So
yeah, no, definitely. And it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
You know, if you're out there, if anybody out there listening is thinking about, you know, trying to build that generational wealth, you know, these are great steps. And you don't have to do it in Toronto. There are so many great opportunities. And Todd and I were talking about that before we started the podcast today on all the different opportunities around Ontario.
Yeah.
And like he said, the beauty of this is that if you do deal with Todd and the Simple Investor, they'll look after the properties for you.
100%. We do all the maintenance, the rents. We take care of everything. You'll never hear from your tenant. In fact, it's amazing. I'm all the investors that have been with me for 14 years. They said, I haven't seen my property. I've never missed a month's rent. And quite frankly, it's amazing. You know, they're just in awe. And, you know, and here's the thing to folks. I always get told, it's too good to be true. Well, you know what? 15 years later, you know, 3,000 units that we manage, I guess it's not so.
Yeah, no, definitely. It sounds that way, but yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
I really do believe.
Yeah, well, you're here at our brick and mortar house. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, Todd, thank you so much for joining me on Sold in the Six.
Hey, listen, Desmond, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks for joining me also on Simply Real Estate and look forward to staying in touch.
And that's our latest episode of Sold in the Six. So there you go. If you're thinking of investing in real estate, get in touch with Todd C. Slayer at The Simple Investor. I'd like to thank my producer, Doug Downs, and the producers here at Todd C. Slater's studio, that's Aiden, for putting this podcast together today. And if you like this episode, please leave a rating, subscribe if you don't already, and of course, feel free to send my podcast on to a friend. And if you need to reach me, you can email me at des@desmondbrown.ca, and make sure that you follow me on all of the social media platforms, and my handle is desinthesix, and that's number 6IX. And if you're an agent out of town, tuning in and you need someone to look after your clients in the greater Toronto area, please get in touch with me too. I promise your clients will be well looked after. Until next time, I'm Desmond Brown.